Please turn our Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 19 to 21. As we consider the message for today, follow your calling. Once you profess to be a Christian, you are saying that you are one who has been called by God. Called in what sense? Well, in biblical and Reformed theology, we often use these two terms to describe the call in which we have received as a Christian. As one who is truly born again, firstly, we have received the external call. And the external call would be the preaching of the gospel, the preaching of God's word which we hear. But some may hear the external call, but they do not believe. And that is because the Holy Spirit has not yet worked in their hearts. But for those who are truly born again, well, the Holy Spirit have worked in their hearts, applying God's word right to them, and now they know the truth right of the word of God. They are rebuked of their sin, and they have repented of their sin and are given the faith right to believe in Christ Jesus. Now, of such, we say that they have received the eternal call, the internal call, right? External and internal, right? Now, this will be the internal call, right? The inward call. And the inward call is an irresistible call. And once you have received it, you will be drawn irresistibly, right, to Christ Jesus. And now you belong to Him. And then what? Well, the Bible also tells us that if you are called to be a Christian, you are called now, therefore, to follow Him, and you are ordained unto good works, right? That is what is stated in Ephesians chapter 2. What it means is that you are now called to bear a good testimony upon the earth, and that you are also called to be a saint. And the word saint simply means, right, holy one. So in other words, you are called to abide, right, in true holiness and godliness. And as you walk the pilgrim journey here upon this earth, the Lord desires that this beauty of Christ should be seen in us, right, that others may also come to know Him, and that His name may be glorified here in this world of darkness. And that is the call that all of us have received. Now, of course, within the body of Christ, we are also, right, given different spiritual gifts and are also appointed unto different areas of service and ministry. And this is also part of God's, right, specific call for us. Some of us may call to be the eyes of the body, right? Some may be called to be the hands, some may be called to be the legs. Each will have their own particular area of service and function. And the Lord will find pleased, right, to use us in order to build up His church, right, to build up the body of Christ. That is what it means, right, to, right, receive the call of God. And our duty is this. When, right, the Lord calls us, we must follow. Right? We must follow. But what does it mean, therefore, to follow one's calling? What does it entail? Well, the passage that is given to us today in 1 Kings chapter 19 will be very, very instructive. Now, recall what we have learned in our previous message on the prophet of fire. We saw how Elijah was very disconsolate and distressed after the miracle of Mount Carmel. And why so? Because he assumed that after the miracle, many would be turned to the Lord and then to follow the Lord as the one living and true God. But instead of that happening, once the call came out from Jezebel that she wanted to pursue after Elijah and to kill him, it seemed that many were turned, many quickly shifted from their position, and now they were out to kill Elijah. And so Elijah felt very, very sorry and disconsolate for the whole situation. And then he fled, all the way, even unto Horeb, the mount of God. And there at Horeb, the Lord restored him. The Lord had to teach him. It's not by the externals in which people are brought to me, brought to a realization of the truth. It's always by the working of the Spirit of God. The results are in my hands. And I am the one who will work in my own time. So it's not by the spectacular, it's by the working of the Spirit in which men will turn to God. And it is of the Lord's will that despite the miracle of Mount Carmel, that many will still not follow the Lord. It only goes to show the hardened hearts of and the deep spiritual problem that was found in Israel. That was the whole point of the miracle of Mount Carmel. And moreover, Elijah, all along I've been helping you with respect to your prophetic ministry that was committed unto you by me. Continue to trust in my provision. And you are also not alone. There are others who have not bowed their knees to Baal. How many? 7,000. 7,000 more. You are not alone, Elijah. And okay, since you have asked for the ministry to be cut short for you, very soon, the ministry will end for you. But before you come to the end of the ministry down here on the earth, there are three things that I need you to do. And one of those things was to go appoint your successor. And who is this successor? This successor is none other than Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah. That will be the successor. And he will be the prophet that shall be anointed in thy room, in your stead, to take over from you. And so you cannot just leave, You must now commit to a faithful man. And who is this faithful man? I have also shown you who this faithful man will be. And so here, the call of Elisha is clearly stated. So what did Elijah do? I don't want to continue anymore. No, Elijah now knew. Yes, I was wrong, to engage in self-pity. I must continue to press on until the end. And so he went about accomplishing the remaining three tasks, which the Lord has left for him. And so what did he do? The first, he went to sort out the one who has been appointed to be his successor. And sometimes this is not easy, Yes, before that, you may complain, it's so difficult, the ministry here on this earth. I don't want to walk anymore. Right? It's the wrong type of complaint. And then after that, the Lord has shown you that you were wrong. Now He says, I want to appoint a successor for you. Then you begin to regret. Hey, why have a successor? Don't want, Lord. No, He didn't say that. Right? Here was a humble man. He went about, right, going to find one, right, that will continue to perform, right, in the ministry of the head prophet. And so he went. He departed thence, and the Lord led him to find Elisha, the son of Shaphat. And now we are going to concentrate on how Elisha, the son of Shaphat, would react to his call. Now, how did he react to his call? Watch, right? So he departed thence, that is Elijah, and he found Elisha, right? That is, God is salvation. Right? The son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12. And so take note that Elisha was plowing not with one ox, not with two oxen, but he was plowing with 12 oxen. Well, so this Elisha comes from a family that was quite rich in those days. How do you judge a person's power in the world? Today, right, we judge a person's power in the world, right? We want to talk about judging from a worldly sense, right? We look at how many cars, how many houses a person have, isn't it? Well, if you have many cars, many houses, many gadgets, well, the person, well, very powerful, very, very rich, very prosperous. Now, in those days, of course, no cars, no gadgets like handphones, right? And even gadgets also, there are various different types of gadgets, right? Some, you know, they are the cheaper gadgets. Some, you know, they are those of the higher class. In those days, no such things, right? But they judge people by what? Well, by the number of oxen, by the number of camels, by the number of asses that they own. And usually, if you talk about the common people in those days, they will probably own perhaps only a few oxen. But here you find that Elisha was plowing, right, with 12 oxen, and that is possibly not the only oxen that Elisha has in his family. Right? His family probably owned more. Right? Just that at this time, at this moment, he was with 12 of these oxen. So yes, he came from quite a well-to-do family. Definitely not one that is poor. And he happened to be there. And so understand that this person actually have great possessions with him. Now, sometimes people think that, only those who have no possessions, then, if I have no possessions, then I will go and follow the Lord. And that is exactly how some people regard the call of God. And even, right, with regards to the ministry of the word, some enter the ministry of the word. Why? Oh, because they have no choice. I lose all my possessions, so now nothing to do, so what? So now I go and preach the word. Oh, it's not like that for Elisha. Please understand. Elisha could have very easily said, I'm living a life of comfort. No problems. I have these oxen. I can just remain here and abide in my current state. But that was not how Elisha reacted, right, to Elijah. When Elijah threw, right, his mantle over him. And this is a very, very significant act of Elijah. Right, for the mantle, right, of the prophet would represent, right, his prophetic office. And by this throwing, right, of the mantle upon Elisha, what Elijah is indicating to Elisha is this, You are called into the same prophetic office as me. And not only just that, but Elisha understood very well that not only was he called to the same prophetic office as Elijah, but he is called to also be that head prophet, just like how Elijah was. So in other words, just like how Elijah was the chief prophet during this period whereby Ahab was active. So after this, right, Elisha would then be that head prophet to be the chief spokesperson in a time of great apostasy and spiritual declension. And this was a high calling. Because if you are called to be a prophet, and if you truly desire to be one that is faithful to what God has, you know, appointed for you, to be a faithful spokesperson, then you know what is coming your way, isn't it? Right now, nobody disturbs my life. I just plow, and after that, I eat the fruit of the land. Now, if I'm going to be that spokesperson, well, I'm inviting a lot of trouble for myself. What it will mean is that this life of farming is now gone. And now, a life whereby people may reject me, where people may ridicule me, whereby I have to live from day to day, right, simply depending on the provision of God, of what people would give to me, is now beckoning. Oh, why do I need this kind of life? I'm only asking for trouble for myself. Maybe I'm not like Elijah. Come, I return you the mantle. You go your way. Was that how Elisha reacted? No, Elisha did not react in this way. You watch what Elisha did, right? Once the mantle was placed right upon, right, Elisha, was passed to him, or was cast upon him, then watch Elisha. Elisha left the oxen, right? And take note, right, of what you will see now from verses 20 to 21. Right, because when you look at verses 20 to 21, you will see one word, right, being repeated many times, and that one word is the word "end." And this word "end" here is very significant because it emphasizes on the sequence of events that was happening. So in other words, from verse 20 all the way to verse 21, Elijah was very careful and very deliberate with what he was doing. He knew what he was doing. And his heart was in it. He was very willing to do those things which he had done in verses 20 to 21. It was not an afterthought. It was not by impulse. But this was what was settled in his heart. And therefore, he did it. And so take note of this, okay, when you read verse 20. So he willingly left the oxen. In other words, I am now going to live this life which I have led. Yes, before that, for this period of time, you have seen fit, O Lord, to place me as a farmer within my family, looking after the oxen. But now, Lord, since you have indicated otherwise, I now want to willingly follow what you have appointed for me, what you have called me to do, the role of a prophet. And he did so immediately. And so the first thing that we see, right, with regards to following your call, is that you should follow your call immediately. If you know that is what the Lord has called you to do, pursue after that calling, willingly, readily, and immediately. And so therefore, what is the calling which the Lord has for you? Well, sometimes certain aspects of God's calling will only be revealed with time. For example, right, before that, right, Elijah was, or rather Elisha was not aware of his calling as a prophet. But from this time forth, he was aware. Right? So perhaps there are certain things which God has intended for you to do. Currently now, it is not revealed to you. But there will surely be certain things, right, which the Lord has already revealed to you and have very directly called you to do. At least in terms of the general call, you should know, right? We have already mentioned that. The general call of what? Being a witness upon this earth. And so therefore, what it means is that once you are called to be a Christian, once you are called to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world, you should immediately pursue to do your best in this calling. Immediately. Don't procrastinate. Oh yes, Lord, now I say I'm a Christian, but you know, maybe perhaps this day of my life, can you let me live on my own? Then maybe another day of my life, let me live on my own. You know, I want to enjoy, you know, this world as long as possible. So maybe let me live until my own, until I get what? Until I get my purple transit link card. Now, you know what's the purple transit link card, right? Some of you have the purple transit link card. Those of you who have it, you're very happy because now your trips on the MRT is much cheaper. Right? Because that means you have reached the age of a senior citizen. That's why you see the young people here, they are clueless. Because what purple? They don't know. But some of you, you're not your kid because you have received it. Wait until I receive that, okay? But before that, Lord, I know that this is what you require, but. Once but. Then that is not good at all. Not says, right, at least in general. Follow me, be a good testimony and witness wherever you go. Live as a Christian. Live according to my word. At least, right, with regards to that, you should follow. Then as you follow the Lord with regards to this, right, wherever you go, as people can see Christ in you, then as time goes by, right, with regards to certain specific areas of service, right, God will reveal to you. So first, yes, the general calling, and of course, right, as what was prayed just now, right, during the service by the chairman, right, you know that you are also placed in certain areas. Some of you are placed as students, some of you are placed as in your workplaces, right, whether businessmen or teachers, some of you called to be fathers and mothers, whatever the Lord has called you to do, and whatever duties you are supposed to do with what the Lord has called you to do, do it immediately. Don't wait. Don't procrastinate. Don't say, maybe later, okay? Then you pass the mantle back, just like this. No. For you see, Elisha, down here, once receiving the mantle, he immediately ran after Elijah and talked about his calling. He ran after him. He don't just took the mantle and after that, okay, that's it. Okay, bye Elijah. And then he ran away. No, ran after Elijah. Yes, I want to know exactly what to do right now. That is how we should approach the call which God has given to us. Then of course, when the Lord reveals specifically certain areas of services for him, and he would, right, impress upon your heart, right, to serve in this area and that area, and of course, if this call is one that is true, right, you will realize that you will receive, right, firstly a personal call, right, you will have this godly desire, right, to do it, right, for the sake of the Lord, not for the sake of yourself, but for the sake of the Lord, because that is what the Lord has called you to do. And you know that even though you may face great difficulty, and even though you may want to run away, yet you know the burden which the Lord has placed upon you is so great you cannot run. This is that area of service. then you go. Then, of course, it will also be affirmed by a public calling, right? By people will also see, yes, indeed, this person has called to this area of service. And then once this is affirmed, don't run away. Right? Don't run away. Pursue after it immediately. If not, you may end up being like Jonah. Young people just learned about Jonah yesterday, right? Yeah, you may get your own personal fish to come and swallow you. What exactly is this fish? Well, I pray you don't go and find out. Rather, the fish don't come. So this is something that, firstly, that you must take note. So what has the Lord called you to do? Is it to serve in certain fellowship group in certain areas? Well, if the Lord has called you to do so, then go immediately and serve and do your best there. Has the Lord called you to serve in certain committees, right, certain church programs? Then do so immediately. Go. Has the Lord called you to serve Him, right, in the Sunday school ministry? Then go. Right, then go. Has the Lord called you to serve in the PA? Then go. Serve in certain areas, even if it's areas which people may regard to be small, if the Lord has called you to do it, do it. And do it immediately. Don't wait. That is what the Lord has in store for you. Follow your call immediately. And when we say about following your call immediately, it also implies that we should follow the call of God wholeheartedly. Yes, wholeheartedly. With one mind. For you look at how what Elijah said in verses 20 to 21. Okay, watch. Now, he said to Elisha, Elisha said to Elijah, "Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee." And he said unto him, that is Elijah said unto Elisha, "Go back again, for what have I done to thee?" Now, we must understand this verse correctly. Right? Elisha is not trying to find an excuse for himself to turn back from his calling. No, that is not what we see down here. Right? That Elijah was not offering a rebuke to Elisha. "You want to go, then go. I go back and return. You think what? This calling means nothing. No, that's not what Elijah is trying to say. Right? Some might will take this passage and then in light of Luke 9, and then, you know, the passage that we read just now, Luke 9, right? Turn with me to Luke 9. Right, Luke 9, 57 to 62. Right here in Luke chapter 9, 57 to 62, especially from verse 59 onwards, right, you watch. "And he said," right, that is Jesus said unto another, "Follow me, but he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go down and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said," right, "also said to Jesus, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at my at home, at my house." Right, sound very much like what Elisha said in 1 Kings chapter 19, right? And then what did Jesus say to this man? "And Jesus said unto him, No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." And Jesus rebuked this man. "You want to go and say bye-bye? No, you better come and follow me immediately." So does that mean that what Elisha has said in verse 20 is wrong? No, please don't understand it that way. Okay, you must understand the context in which all these verses are written. With respect to Luke chapter 9, verses 57 to 62, the Lord was, right, the passage was dealing with people who come up with all sorts of excuses not to follow Jesus Christ. So, When this man says, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home, at my house. What was in the heart of this man is to just find an excuse not to follow Jesus Christ, of which Jesus Christ says, you say you want to follow me, but then you want to go back, and then you want to say goodbye, and then after that, you are going to let yourself be taken in by all these kind of familiar relations. Then, you are not worthy to follow me. You're not worthy to follow me, because no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. You say you want to follow Christ, there must be always no looking back. Follow means follow all the way. You don't look back and then say, I regret saying I want to follow you, and then pretend that, oh, actually I want to follow, but, you know, then you go away. Must never be the case. Jesus Christ is not saying that if you are called, for example, to the full-time ministry or to any area of service, that you cannot go and then after that tell your family, bye-bye, now I have to leave. Where is Rachel? Rachel, where are you? Rachel, when you enter into FEBC, you stay in the dorm, do you say bye-bye to your mommy? We go. Today, are you going to say bye-bye to your mommy? Cannot say bye-bye. But Luke 9 says, cannot say bye-bye. That's Sister Mimi. Sister Mimi will be very angry. Cannot say bye-bye. Of course not. That is not what the scripture is trying to say. Right? This person is trying to find an excuse not to follow Jesus Christ, and so Jesus Christ rebuked him. You react in this manner, then you are not fit to follow, not fit for the kingdom of God. What Elisha did down here was very correct. He has just received the call of God. He had to go and then to inform his parents, I have received the call of God, and from now on, I am not going to do any farming. I am now going to follow Elijah in the prophetic ministry. Because that is exactly what God has called me to do. And if God has called me to do this thing, then I cannot be half-hearted. I cannot be doing some farming and then also do this. Cannot. Because now the time for farming is not over. If I do farming, then I will be distracted from this call which God has clearly given to me. And that is exactly how it must be. If the Lord has given you a call, then you must make sure that whatever distractions that will cause you to move away from fulfilling the call of God must not come into your life. Whatever distractions, you better remove. So for example, you are called to be a student. Then whatever distractions that cause you not to be faithful to the Lord in your call of the student, you better remove. If it is computer games that is causing you to be distracted in your call, you better stop playing computer games. Or at least reduce the amount. Better still, just stop. Why you play all the computer games or what? Just stop. If, for example, you are called to a workplace, and then there are certain distractions in life that cause you not to be able to perform well in the workplace, then remove all these distractions. If you are called to be a mother, you are called to be a father, then whatever distractions in your life that cause you not to be able to perform in your duty as a mother and a father, which God has laid upon you, that you remove. You must be wholehearted in your task. Not half-hearted. Don't let yourself be distracted. And of course, with regards to those who are caught into the ministry of the word, whatever distracts you from your call in the ministry of the word, and you say that you have been called full-time into the ministry of the word, then you remove all these things. You must have nothing to do with all these things anymore. You cannot say that I go into the ministry of the word, and then after that, halfway through, I want to go and take on some part-time job. You don't do that. You don't do that. This job will then be very distracting for you. In the end, you will end up concentrating more on your other job than in your preparation with regards to the preaching of God's word. That is why, with regards to the Levites, when they are supposed to be the teachers of God's word, what was God's instruction to them? God's instruction to them is, you stay in these Levitical cities, and then people will give tithes and offerings, and then you leave off your tithes and offerings. You are not allowed to own any land, you are not allowed to do any vocation, you just leave off the things which the people of God have given to you in terms of the tithes and the offerings. You live upon that. And the reason is so that you can concentrate in the preparation of, in the teaching of God's word, right, and in the guarding of the Levitical form of worship. No distractions. fulfill your calling wholeheartedly. Now, that is regards to the Levites. Now, of course, other people have other calling, right? So, for those of you who are not called into the ministry of the word, what is the calling for God? Then, you follow wholeheartedly. Just like what Elijah did. Elijah did right. He, in fulfillment of the fifth commandment, he asked for permission from Elijah. Look, I want to go with you, but I need to give an account to my parents to tell them that, no, I am not going to pursue this life of farming anymore. Please, will you let me go? Then Elijah said, go. Go. Back again. In fact, these are two commands. Firstly, go, and then return. Two commands. For what have I done to thee? So ask Elijah to consider very carefully what exactly is the calling that he has received. Right, or rather, Elijah asking Elisha to consider very carefully what is the calling that he had received. So in other words, yes, you go. Yes, you return. That is what you must do. But at the same time, don't go and don't return. And then after that, return and then don't come back. You go, return, and make sure you do what is appropriate with the calling that you have received. If you go and if you return and then you stay there, then it's wrong. But if you go, you return, and after that you cast everything away, and then follow me from this time forth, wholeheartedly, without any distraction, then that is correct. And that is exactly what Elijah did. Because that is what his calling required. So calling is everything. What the Lord has called you to do, you do it to the end, wholeheartedly. No distractions. Fulfill all the way to the end. For in verse 21, what did Elisha do? He returned back from him. He took a yoke of oxen. And so this yoke of oxen is very, very representative of what Elisha is going to do from this time forth. Because he will take this yoke of oxen, and instead of using this yoke of oxen to plow the land, he took the yoke of oxen, he slew the yoke of oxen, and then he boiled the flesh with the instruments of the oxen. He purposely used the instruments of the oxen to boil it. Why? To indicate to the people who will then receive this food from him and then to eat it. Very deliberate by Elisha. That my life as a farmer is now over. I am not going to do farming and prophesy at the same time. Because now the Lord has something else for me to do. And I am not going to be distracted. I am not going to look back. I am going to follow him all the way. And very deliberate. And. Don't miss that out. And that is exactly what it should be like for every one of us. Deliberate. You must be very, very deliberate in making sure that you are so focused in your calling and that there is nothing that will cause you to shift the focus. Because it's so easy for your focus to be shifted when it comes to the work of the Lord. Those in the ministry of the word, of course, have their various temptations that will cause them to shift their focus. It could be money, it could be power, it could be pride, it could be sex, it could be so many things, the things of the world cause the focus to shift. But what is true for the minister of the word is also true for every one of us, isn't it? So many things, and you know what these things are. There is no need to go into a full detail down here. You know all these things that cause your focus to shift, you set it aside, because that is exactly what Elisha did. And now the people are fully aware. Elisha is not going to return back. He has received this call. And there they are, eating this last meal together with him. And they know that from this time forth, nothing is going to distract Elisha anymore. Not even his family will distract him. He will follow the call of God to the very end. Then what did Elisha do? After that, he arose, right? The word then is also the same conjunction, right? The conjunction and he arose, and he went after Elijah, and straight away what? Took over from Elijah. No, he did not do that. And he arose, and he went after Elijah, and he ministered unto him. Observe this, he ministered unto him first. Now, what was the call of Elisha? The call of Elisha was to be anointed as prophet in the room of Elijah. And yet down here in verse 21, we read that he went after Elijah, and at this point of time, he ministered unto Elijah. In other words, he submitted himself before Elijah to be his servant and to be his disciple. When it comes to the call of God, therefore, learn this third thing, that if we want to follow the calling of God, we must follow patiently. Because sometimes with regards to the things which God wants us to do, there is a progression, there is a time. There is a progression, there is a time. With regards to Elisha, yes, it was the Lord's appointment for him to be the head prophet. But the time is not now yet. He still has to undergo training. Not ready. Follow Elijah. Observe how Elijah ministers. And then after that, learn right from the life of Elijah what it means right, to be a faithful prophet of the Lord. And when the time comes, when Elijah will be taken away by the Lord, that will be the time where Elisha will be ready right, to serve in that prophetic office as the head prophet. For this moment, be the servant, serve, learn, and learn patiently, not straight away jump into it. No, because it is not the timing of the Lord. And so it is the case with regards to David, right? Remember, we have studied before the life of David. Now, David knew from very early on that he is going to be the king of Israel. Did he rush his calling? No, he did not. Now, he knew that that was his calling, but he did not rush it. He let God set the timetable. And those periods whereby David was running away from Saul were very instructive periods whereby David learned what it means to walk in faith, to have his full trust in the Lord, to mature even in spiritual things, so that when he became king, he would then be ready to lead the people of God, the people of Israel. And this same principle, therefore, applies also for us with regards to our calling. Now, some of you down here, perhaps from a very early age, may know that the Lord may have called you to a certain areas of service. Perhaps right, you may have this godly desire, let's say, to be a Sunday school teacher. And be very patient. You want to be a Sunday school teacher, you don't jump in straight away and start teaching. Because when it comes to the teaching ministry, you know that if you teach something that is wrong, the error will be perpetuated for generations to come. Right? You are talking about the souls of men. Right? That is why, you know, even with regards to the ministry of the word, and those who profess that they have this full-time calling, nominally, what do? You know, not every one of them is like a Spurgeon. You know, sometimes people want to use a Spurgeon as an example. You know, Spurgeon received a call and then he went about, at the age of 17, he started preaching. How many Spurgeons are there? Don't forget Spurgeon himself. After that, he set up a school of what? A school of prophets, to prepare people for the preaching ministry. He knew that not everybody is like him. He is somebody that is special. The Lord straight away determined that he could right start off as a preacher. But nominally, no. Right, people would have to come in. People would have to be well-grounded in the Word of God before they could teach. And when it comes to the grounding of the Word of God, please understand that it's not just a grounding of the Word of God in the head, but it also involves a whole life of training, a whole life of study, a whole life of submitting oneself to spiritual duties. And that is exactly what you find in the FEBC. So those who say that they are caught into the full-time ministry of the word, they have to subject themselves to this. They go, they learn, and it's tough for them. But there is God's school of learning, and as while they are there, they are just students, and they learn, and they serve hard, and then sometimes certain commands are given to them, they have to follow, they have to obey. And through it all, they will grow in their faith, they learn, they mature, until when the time is right, the Lord will give this indication that now you are ready for the next phase of your service. Same with regards to a person who says, "Oh, I want to serve as a Sunday school teacher." He or she cannot just jump in. First, the person must grow in the knowledge of God's word. Right? First, must grow in the knowledge of God's word. You cannot just appoint a novice to teach God's word. He teach wrongly, then what do the children learn? And at the same time, right, when it comes to the life of a Sunday school teacher, right, the spiritual maturity of the teacher is also important, because the teacher sets an example, right, for the children to follow. How he or she conducts himself, right, from day to day will have an impact upon the life of the children. And so time must also be given for the person to grow up in this area. And so, right, the person may first start off, he may have to be subjected to some form of discipling. Right? We have to be under certain Sunday school teachers, and then the Sunday school teachers see, and then they teach this person, and then slowly, by and by, it would be revealed by the Lord whether or not this person is truly called to be a teacher, and whether he or she is ready, right, to start teaching. Not straight away. You put in a novice, right, finish. Right, same with regards to anyone who is called to be, right, an office bearer in the church. Right, first start off, they will be a person that must be proven to be spiritually mature, and after that, right, with the associate gifts, then after that as a deacon, and in the BP church, you must serve at least 2 terms as a deacon before you can even be in consideration as an elder. For no novices are in the office of an elder. Can the person feel a calling to be an elder even early on? Possible. But even then, if he knows, he must subject himself to the calling of God. In God's time. Always in God's time. And when a person is ready. Right. Same for all other ministries. Right. Take for example, right, certain committees that we have in church. Let's say like the church camp committee. And I'm glad that in the church camp committee, you know, when they appoint from year to year, there is this certain awareness, right, that, you know, as we bring in people to serve in the committee, right, there is also this sense of discipling. Not straight away into certain areas, but there is this observation, there is this careful and prayerful consideration, firstly, whether the person is suitable, and then slowly, slowly, by and by, with time, with proper discipling, when the Lord indicates that the time is right, then slowly, right, take on more and more responsibilities, not straight into it, right, straight into the chief responsibility, but no, must be proven, right, with time. And so, right, people will go through this process of being discipled, right, according to God's time. Follow Him patiently. Right, and this is the same for all ministries. Right, even missions is also the same. Right, some of you young people, you all may have this desire to go for missions. Well, well and good, we encourage our young people to go for missions. We do. But as you go for missions, first you must make sure that you are ready for missions. If you are, let's say, a young believer, then what is good is that you should spend your time first, right, growing in the Word of God, understanding the Word of God before you're even engaged in teaching. And even then, as you go, you understand that as you go to these places, you are going to be a blessing to people. And so therefore, learn and develop the disposition of a person that is suitable for missions. So that means you have to grow in spiritual maturity. Grow in your love also for souls. And it starts here from home, right? Firstly, at home. While in Singapore, do you have a love for souls? That will be the first step. If you have a love for souls, then slowly, by and by, progress. Ask the Lord to help you to grow, right? If the Lord truly has called you to serve in this area, then as you grow in this areas, then you will be ready to go. Then when you go, the Lord can use you to be a good blessing in the mission field. All areas is the same. And so are there young people who want to go for missions? Well, good. And we encourage you to go. But be patient. Don't just jump in. But ask the Lord to help you to grow. We want to send our best to the mission field, so that the people can truly benefit from a good testimony and example. So I'm happy that Tabernacle is involved in missions. I pray that every mission team that is sent will be a strong one. I'm looking forward. I think the next one will be the Vietnam mission team. And I think the Vietnam mission team, we have a good team. We pray that the Lord will be with them and help them. And as they go, well, they may have some younger ones with them. We pray that they will also disciple them. But go only when you are ready, with time, all areas. There used to be two young men in the church. They had desire to teach God's word, especially with regards to biblical doctrine and systematic theology. Right? They were looking around, they see that there were a lot of young people who do not know these things, and so therefore they wanted to teach. And so they almost started having their own lesson on these things. Thankfully, they made their intentions known to the leadership of the church. They did not go plunging in straight away and starting off their own lesson. And so after that, when they did it, the pastor heard of it, and the pastor sent somebody to speak to them. And the answer was very short. No. It's just no. And so the two young men were wondering, why no? And someone, no reason given, or just no. Well, no means no. So they continue just serving in whatever capacity which the Lord has called them to. And now that many years has passed, what are these two young men doing? Well, now of course they are older. One is a fellowship group leader, serving very faithfully. The other one is in the teaching and preaching of the Word of God. And when they look back, they realize, yes, it is not God's time. Because if they had started then they would have easily taught so many wrong things. And it would be to the ruin of the lives of these young people. It was a wise advice that was given. No. Yes, you all may be called to this calling, but you have to be patient. Follow your calling patiently. And what is right for these young people at the time is what? Still concentrate, right? in the study and learning of God's word and growing spiritually, maturing, right, in spiritual things and spiritual understanding, and also in heavenly wisdom in the day-to-day living, right, being wiser, right, in these things. And then when the time is up, right, the Lord, right, will naturally have his time and place, right, for you. That is what it means, right, to follow the Lord. And so therefore, in conclusion, what does it mean to follow your call? Firstly, you see, the Lord has called you to a certain area of service. Follow this call immediately. And as you follow this call, you follow this call wholeheartedly. And as you follow, know that there is also a timing with respect to God's plan for you. Follow the call of God patiently. Right? May the Lord help you to understand all these things. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord God Almighty, we give thee thanks and praise for the instruction that we have in your precious word. How, O Lord, we ask that you will lead and guide us with respect to understanding our call. And how, Father, we ask thee that whatsoever thou callest us to do, you will grant us the grace to do so. Oh, may we be ready to serve in whatever capacity thou hast called us to. Lead and guide us, be very close to us. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen.